Thank you, Craig and Patty. Beautiful song. Appreciate that. Amen. And he can. Amen. Amen. He really can do that. All right. Here in Philippians 3, we find the Apostle Paul saying some crucial things, some things that literally could change your life. If you'll listen, I key on my text, verse 10, and really it's the title of the message, that I may know him, that I may know him. Well, if there was anything today that I would want you to leave here with, is that you know him. Not only as Savior, but I'm talking about the way Paul wanted to get to know him. Paul said, I want to know him. I want to know him as my friend. I want to know him as my father. I want to know him better than anybody in all this world. And if we would leave here with that desire, I promise you this, he wants you to know him that way. He really does. Father, bless now the preaching. Please speak to our hearts. Give us what we need today, and thank you again for the beautiful music, and thank you for preparing us. And now help us to listen, and Lord, help us to really desire to know you. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You ever hear somebody talk about maybe a job, a promotion, or something like that, and they say something like, well, it's who you know. It's who you know. Maybe it has to do with getting some sort of a favor or something like that in a company or some type of thing. And they'll say, well, it's who you know. Obviously it's who you know. Now, I don't know about how that goes in business and everything. I suppose those kinds of things happen. Certainly, I suppose they happen in politics. But I'll tell you this. It's who you know as to how your life's going to go. It really is. Paul had everything. I mean, honestly, and I like verse 2. He says, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. Somebody said one time to me, they said, preacher, you're always talking about dogs being better than cats. The Bible says, beware of dogs. Well, yeah, but the second part talks about cats, beware of evil workers. But Paul had it all. I mean, he had everything. He had the position. He had finances. He had power. I mean, all these things. He had all of that. But here's what he said. He said, I don't want those things. I want to know him. He said, those things don't matter to me. He said, they're like dung to me. He said, I want to know him. You ever marvel at Paul's relationship with God? Well, that's where it starts right there. We often look at people, and I talked about this in our Sunday school class today. We look at the churches of Philippi, the church at Ephesus, church at Thessalonica, and they're just something different about them. They're not like us. They are like us. And Paul is like us. Paul is a person just like you and I. But there's a difference. And have you ever thought that maybe the difference is, he said, I just want to know him. I want to know him beyond being saved. I want to know him as my friend and my father. I want to have a relationship with God. And the key is I may know him. Paul went through trials. Paul, he talks about just a little bit here in other places in Scripture, the trials that he went through and the difficulties he went through. And yet he says in verse 1, he says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. And he says that often in Philippians, rejoice. Praise the Lord, even though he's in... What's the key to that? The key is that I may know him. That I may know him. You say, I don't know how anybody can rejoice in the Lord. You can rejoice in the Lord if you know him. I mean, the more you get to know him, the easier it is to rejoice in the Lord. Paul had a great understanding of doctrine. I mean, Paul, read the book of Romans, and boy, you just see the depth of his understanding of doctrine. But the key to that is that I may know him. To know him is to know doctrine. To know him is to start to understand the great truths of the Word of God. Paul was a very wise man, and we see wisdom in his life over and over again. But the key to that is that I may know him. That I may know him. Paul had compassion. No question about that. Paul had a burden for the lost. He said he was a debtor. He said, I'm in debt to the Greeks and to the barbarians. He said, I owe a debt to people all around me because they're lost and going to hell, and God saved me and God will save them. And we see the compassion of the Apostle Paul. What's the key to that compassion? I'll be honest with you. I believe it's that I may know Him. That I may know Him. Paul had conviction. Where'd that come from? How did he take such a stand that he would be arrested, he'd be stoned, he'd be left for dead, he'd be beaten, he'd be shipwrecked, he'd be eventually martyred for the cause of Christ? How did he have such conviction? I think the key of that is, I may know Him. I may know Him. You say, boy, preacher, I just find myself wavering here and wavering there. And have you ever just said, God, I really want to know You. I just really want to know You. He wasn't concerned with money. He wasn't concerned with bigness. He wasn't concerned with popularity. He wasn't concerned with fame. His main concern was that I may know Him. And I wish that'd be your goal today. Because it is a goal that is attainable. Paul knew Him better each and every day until the day that he died. And even up until the day that he died, as he was starting to get closer to that day, he welcomed it. Why? Because he knew Him. And going to heaven wasn't going to be going to a place with strangers. It was going to be going home. That I may know Him. His statement. I see four things in that statement that I want to talk to you about. And the first thing is very obvious. It is personal. It is a personal statement. He says that I may know Him. It's a personal decision that he made. Certainly as a pastor, I'd like for all of us to get to know Him. I'd like for everybody here as a church. I'd like, boy, Berean Baptist Church, wouldn't it be great? Preaching this morning will be the Lord Jesus Christ. Wouldn't that be something? And later on, we'll have a fellowship down in the fellowship hall, and we'll all just sit around and talk. Wouldn't that be great? Huh? I mean, that sounds like a great promotion. Amen? Now, the thing is, that's a great idea. But here's what Paul's saying. Paul's saying, okay, I want you to know Him, but he said, I may know Him. It is a personal statement. It's a personal decision. John 17 and verse 3. Of course, the first thing in knowing Him is knowing that you're going to heaven. Knowing Him as your Savior. John 17, 3, this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. To know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ. That's to know Him. You need to be saved. You need to trust Christ. You need to be born again. That is the only true God. I mean, there's all kinds of gods, little g, out there in this world. But to know Him, I can. I can. It is personal. I need to be saved. You need to be saved. We need to trust Christ as Savior. Listen to me. Salvation is between you and God. Nobody can get saved for you. Nobody can can trust Christ for you. There's people in this room that are begging God to save a loved one. Begging God to save somebody who has not trusted Christ as Savior. There are people right here that have loved ones. There are people right here that have people very close to them. And people who are lost. And people that have said, I'm not interested in salvation. And they're begging God, please God, save them. Because salvation is between a person and God. It's personal. Has there been a time when you personally trusted Jesus as your Savior? Has there been a time you say, well, you know, my dad was a deacon or my dad, he went to church and they were members here. My parents went to this church and I was in the Sunday school. No, listen to me. Was there ever a time when you called upon Jesus Christ to come into your heart and save you? Because verse 9 says it all back in Philippians 3. Here's what he said. Before he said that I may know Him, he said this, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law. Hey, he just told us about all of his righteousness. He just told us how much righteousness he had. I mean, you know, he was a Pharisee. He was zealous. He was doing all these things. But he said, what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. None of that did him any good. He said, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. You're not going to know Jesus until you have his righteousness. You need to be saved. You know, somebody says, well, I'm not saved, but I talk to God all the time. I don't know who you're talking to, but you're not talking to God. The first time you talk to God, you're going to have to say, God, please forgive me. I'm a sinner, and I claim Jesus Christ as my Savior, and He paid the price for my sin. Listen to me. You're not going to come to God in your own righteousness. You're not going to say, okay, God, here I am, and you can have me, and here's all I've done. Because it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but it's according to His mercy that He saves us. You're not going to, hey, you cannot know Him apart from the blood of Jesus Christ. You cannot know Him apart from the salvation that is through faith and by calling upon the name of the Lord to be saved. Paul knew Him. He knew Him. He was saved. Are you saved today? You know, we come Sunday after Sunday and we sit and, are you saved? Have you trusted Jesus as your Savior? Then, after he got saved, look at Galatians 1. I really like this in the Apostle Paul's life. Part of it's very clear, part of it's a little fuzzy. Galatians 1, verse 15. Here's what he said after he got saved. He said, when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace to reveal His Son in me that I might preach Him among the heathen. Now watch what he did. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Now we know what flesh and blood is, and that's not too deep. That's people. He said, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me. Here's what he said he did. But I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years. What did he do those 3 years? He got to know Him. He got to know Him. Would to God some Christian people would say, okay, I need to be around people and I will be around people, but I'm going to take some time and I'm going to get off and I'm going to get away from people and I'm going to get to know Him. Because people just kind of get in the way, really. Amen. He said, I'm not going to talk to flesh and blood first. I'm not going to talk to the leaders in Jerusalem. They're good people and they can teach the Bible. But I just really want to get to know Him. And some of us have never done it. Never just said, God, I want to know You. I want to know You. It's, you know, prayer, for example, it's a wonderful thing. The Bible says where two or more are gathered together, there is He in the midst. But you know what he recommends? Look at Matthew 6 and verse 6. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 6. And it's almost like we don't even know this is in the Bible. We don't even pay attention to this in our Bibles. Matthew 6 and verse 6. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Do you see it? What is he talking about? He's saying, I want you to get to know me. I want you to pray where two or more are gathered together, and that's a wonderful thing. But God said, I want you to go into your closet. I want you to go out in the woods. I want you to go out in the field. I want you to go to the desert, Paul. I want you to, hey, you want to know me? You're going to have to remove yourself from the people, from the crowd, from the noise. You're going to have to get away. You're not going to get to know me praying at lunchtime. You're not going to get to know me just praying at supper time. You're not going to get to know me just praying to start off the service. You're going to get to know me when you'll spend some time with me alone. It's personal. It's personal. It's like couples. They like to be alone. They want to talk. You know, I remember when we went to college, the dating room, I don't remember what that's called. We called it the passion pit. I've heard all kinds of different names, but what was the purpose? Well, so they can sit and they can talk and get to know each other. And I'll be honest, I love just sitting and talking to my wife. There's a lot I still want to know about her. I remember when Brenda and I first met, her brother and sister, Pam and Kevin, they constantly followed us around everywhere. I mean, we first met and they're singing, Doug and Brenda sitting in a tree. Well, anyway, I never, ever in all my life have had her up in a tree. Never. So, God bless you. But we wanted to be alone and to talk and to get to know each other. And all I'm saying is, you know, we would want that with a person. But why don't we want to be alone with our God? You know, folks, honestly, the thing that's lacking in Berean Baptist Church, the thing that is lacking that Craig and Patty just sang about as to, and I believe this with all my heart, as to why our country is in the mess it is in, is personally, we don't really know Him. Because if we really knew Him, we would humble ourselves. We would fall down on our knees. We would bow the knee to Him. It is personal. I may know Him. Number two, it is possible. Paul said that I may know Him. It is possible. Now, it's sad. Most Christians, many Christians, obviously, we know Him as our Savior, but that's it. Paul said, I want more than that. By the way, when Paul said this, he said it after the 3 years that he spent getting to know Him. He said, I need to really know Him. So many are here and you've trusted Christ, and that is a wonderful thing. And Jesus is your Savior, and praise God for that. But that's it. How sad that I may know Him. That I may be able to think like He thinks and do as He does. That I may really know Him. Lord teaching the disciples to pray, He said, start it this way, our Father. Our Father. That I may know Him as my Father. That I may know Him as my Father. That I may know Him as my Abba Father, which is Daddy. That I may, honestly, so many, you know, we sit in church and it's like, but you don't know Him that way. As my Father. If you ask Him for a fish, would He give you a scorpion? Well, I'm a little concerned about that. Not if you know He's your Father. Huh? Not when you know He's your Father. You see, I just don't understand what's going on around me. But He's your Father. You don't care. Do you understand? I mean, I remember some things about growing up. And one of the things I remember, and my dad was a skinny guy. And he never really seemed to be a hero kind of a guy. He just never was. But every time Dad was there, I didn't care what was going on. Storm, didn't matter. Dad's there. I've told stories of waking up in the middle of the night and it's storming. I mean, the wind's blowing and we had a flagpole outside our bedroom and the little clip on the flag. I mean, it would start dinging and that would tell me how bad it was. I was like, ding, 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 ding. That means it's bad. That means we're in trouble. I mean, you know, that's how it was. And that's what, and I mean, I'm up and I'm in Dad's room and I would cough, sneeze, bump him, kick him, slap him, whatever. And he gets up and I say, now I can sleep. He was my hero. Well, you say, he's your dad. He's my dad too. Come on, folks. Get to know him as a father. Have that confidence in him. I'll be honest, now I wake up many times in the middle of the night and often in the middle of the night and There's all kinds of wicked stuff going on as far as what you think and what you hear. And you look around and all of a sudden, oh, it's okay. My Father's awake. It's all right. Get to know Him as your Father. Bible says He's a friend closer than a brother. Know Him as your best friend. You can tell Him anything. Sometimes I'll, you know, a couple of folk, teenagers, they'll be talking, you know, and then I'll walk up and it gets quiet and then I get nervous. You know, I said, well, keep talking. Well, Pastor, she's my friend. So you feel like you can confide in her. But see, He could be your friend. When is the last time you told God everything? Hello? That's what Paul's talking about. He said, I want to know Him as my Father. I want to know Him as my friend. Look at 1 John 5 and verse 20. 1 John 5 and verse 20. And we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true. And we are in Him that is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Know Him that is true. We have an understanding of that. We only have that understanding when we really know Him. That's why, honestly, so many struggle with the truth of the Word of God. So many, because you don't know Him that is true. God never lies. God never deceives. God's true. Always. Always. And that's who we can know. We can really, really know Him. It is possible. Apostle Paul believed it so much. Listen to me. In verse 7, back in Philippians 3, what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. I was a Pharisee. I was a religious leader. I had a big income. I was a military leader. I had all of those things. He said, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. It meant that much to him. He gave up everything to know Him. That God may not have you do that. He may not ask you to do that. How much do you want to know Him today? It is personal. It is possible. Number three, it is practical. Because I may know Him. We understand that word, knowing somebody. 9 years ago, I don't think I knew any of you. I knew the Nixons 9 years ago. I knew, who else did I know? I knew my wife. I knew Dar. I knew Dave, of course. Yeah, Dave goes, I'm here, Dad. But 9 years ago, think about that. That's not that long. 9 years ago. So we understand the word know. Now I know you. You know, I think about Brenda and I met 36 years ago this August 20th. 36 years, it's a whole lifetime. Yeah. But do you understand? And sometimes I do this. Sometimes I think this way. 36 years ago right now, I didn't know her. That's hard for me to imagine. So we it's very practical, that word know. It's very understandable. We can understand it. And I think about how practical it is. Okay, so you say, preacher, this sounds like a real deep thing. It's not that deep. I think about my own relationship with my wife and how we met and I wanted to get to know her. But the truth of the matter is, I want to get to know her more and more and more and more and more. And I look forward to 36 more years. Well, anyway, that could be tough. But how do you do it? Same way you get to know a person. Same way you get to know anybody else. First of all, you talk to them. Amen. You talk to them. Paul, right after he got saved, he took off. He said, okay, I didn't talk to people. I didn't talk to the leaders in Jerusalem. He said, I went into a desert and I spent the time with God. I got to know Him. I talked to Him. When Brent and I were dating, some of you teenagers, you're not going to believe this, they didn't have cell phones. Isn't that hard to believe? Unbelievable. I mean, phones were attached to a wire that plugged into a wall. And those wires weren't long enough to carry in your car and go all over the place. It's hard to believe, isn't it? You're in shock, I can tell. We didn't have texting. It's hard to believe. There was no internet. Al Gore hadn't invented it yet. There was this thing. You're not going to believe this. There was this thing called long distance. Yeah. And it cost a lot of money. Long distance phone calls were very expensive. Guess who often spent lots of time talking on the phone when we first met? We did. I'll never forget my first $80 long distance phone bill that my mom handed me. By the way, if mine was 80, hers was 80. And, that's tough stuff. Yeah. But it was worth it to be able to talk to her. I mean, seriously, so many of, when we first met, so much of the time we spent, we just talked to each other. Just talked about everything. It amazes me how folks forget about that. Hello. You know, in your marriage, you're so excited. Oh, you know, we had a date, and you're so excited. And then a couple years later, yeah, we had a date, and oh, you know, we're going to get married. And then they get married, and 5 years into the marriage, there's just nothing to talk about anymore. You've got to be kidding. But talk to each other. That's, hey, you know, when God wants you to talk to Him, that's how we've got to know each other. We talk to each other. Huh? Another thing, listen to and read His Word. You know, I mean, Paul studied and read and memorized the Word of God. Look at 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Read. Listen to. Study. Memorize. By the way, that's very practical. Because everybody, probably, because way back in the old days, before texting, before email, we wrote letters. Glenn, did you ever write any letters to Robin? You know what I'm talking about, don't you? And I've made reference. My wife and I, we have a huge collection of letters. We lived like an hour apart. And we're still trying to find our letters. It's not funny, Dave. But we wrote letters. And literally, I would read her letters that she wrote over and over and over and over and over. And of course, I would enjoy smelling the perfume that she sprayed on them as well. But I read them. I read them over and over and over again. There were parts I memorized in her letters, like how wonderful I was. But, you know, God's given us a letter here, folks. And to say, you know, God, I'd like to get to know you better, but I just don't have time to talk to you, and I certainly don't have time to read the Bible. Then you really don't want to get to know Him. How about this? Think about Him. When Paul was in jail, of course he didn't have the internet. Right. And probably he didn't have the Word of God. What did he do? I think he thought about Him. He thought about Him. Recently I preached on the thoughts of man, and those thoughts that we talked about were bad thoughts. But here's a good thought for you. Think about God. I used to, my teachers would, in high school, because Brenda and I, we started dating, we were 16. And I remember my teachers would say, "What in the world are you thinking about all the time?" I know what I was thinking about. Yeah, I was thinking about her. That's what I think about now. When she's gone, I got pictures of her all over the house. And I look at them. Those are good thoughts. What do you think about? You say, "I want to get to know God." Do you think about God during the day? Do you think about God when you eat? Do you think about God just throughout the day? Do you think about Him when you're on the job? You can do that. "Well, I go to public school. I'm not allowed." Oh, yeah, they can't control your thoughts yet. Huh? Do you think about God? How about this? Observe His ways. I watched her. I still do. I learn. Bible says for me, as far as a husband, I'm to dwell with her according to knowledge. That means I got to learn about her. But see, the way I've got to know God is I've watched His ways. I remember one of my first messages I preached, I used the verse, "As for God, His way is perfect." And I remember when I saw that verse, how it impressed me so much. His way is perfect. That means everything He does is always perfect. Now, being a human, and certainly a very imperfect one, I just couldn't imagine. All of God's ways are perfect, and I just have started observing His ways. I've watched Him all these years. Why? Because I want to get to know Him. I want to get to know Him. I pay attention during testimony times. I listen. I want to know how God's working in somebody else's life. I want to see what God's doing. I want to see the little things that God does. I think that's amazing. I remember testimonies. You know, some people would get embarrassed because of the testimony, and I was rejoicing. Little kids would talk about God healing their dog. You know, and it was like, you know, parents are, I'm thinking, man, this is so good that God would heal that child's dog. We had kids pray for a turtle one time. Aww. Yeah, it's unbelievable. And then rejoice later on because the turtle survived. It's probably still alive. But you observe His ways. I can do all things through Christ. That's what Paul said. How do you think he was able to come to that conclusion? Because he watched God. He observed His ways. Observe Him working in your life, in others' lives, in your church. That's why, you know, honestly, when you just kind of show up right before the service starts and you take off at the last amen, you miss out on a lot of things that God may want you to see. I'll be honest with you, I was absolutely fascinated again this year at Vacation Bible School. In fact, I had a message already written and ready to preach for tonight. And all during the week, God gave, I wrote another message for tonight just because of what I watched at Vacation Bible School. I watched the ways of God Almighty. I watch, I don't want to embarrass anyone, and there's certainly many, many people I could illustrate, but I think about Thursday night alone, and I watched Bob Wilbar come in, and to be in Vacation Bible School in his class, and he had just spent the whole afternoon planning the funeral for his father, and I thought, so you're gonna walk out of a funeral home. Your heart's broken. And then you're going to come and help kids laugh and smile and rejoice. Now, only God can do that in our lives. And I thought, wow, God, you're so awesome. How God can help us get through all those things. It just amazes me. He does that. He's God. Now, if you just, you say, well, you know, I never thought about that. It's because you're not watching. Observe his ways. Watch him in the storm. I love being able to see radar. I mean, it's just so neat to be able to see radar. I don't know how many times I've watched storms go right around Adrian. It just amazes me. I think, I guess we didn't need a storm. Often I think of Brother Bremer and I think, I wonder if he must not have needed rain. Because I'm serious. Here comes a big storm. I'll tell somebody, oh yeah, it's definitely going to rain. And then you watch the radar and it splits and goes right around us. And there we are. And I think, God, you're so great. Why did you do that? Did he set an angel out there and just stop the storm right for that little group right there? God's just so awesome. But again, if you really want to know him, it's very practical. That's how we get to know people. We observe their ways. And eventually we know what they know. Because verse 10, Paul talks about here the power of his resurrection. To be able to know the power of his, well, what is that? It's new life. It's new life. It's a whole new life. Some of you, honestly, it's like you don't have a new life. I watch people and really you say, well, I'm saved. I trusted Christ, but nothing has changed. And I'm not questioning your salvation. I'm just saying you must not really know him, because we're talking about the power of the resurrection. We're talking about up from the grave, he arose. Hey, he is not dead. He's risen. And that happened to me. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. He says, the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. I'll be honest with you. If I'm going to suffer, I'd rather have his fellowship than anybody's. It was his fellowship that caused Paul and Silas, who were suffering in jail, to be able to sing. Amen. It was his fellowship that helped the three Hebrew children in the fiery furnace to be able to play catch with the hot coals. I mean, if I'm going to suffer, I'd rather have his fellowship than anybody's. But even better than that, the fellowship of his sufferings is that joy set before him, he endured the cross with joy. That's a whole different way to suffer, isn't it? But that's knowing what he knows. I think about the more that I get to know. This has happened to us so many times here lately, my wife and I, where somebody says something or something is said, and then we both say the same thing. She said something the other day. She said, "We're becoming alike," and I felt bad for her, really, but it is what happens when you really know somebody. It is. Wouldn't it be something if people say, "You know, you're becoming an awful lot like Jesus. you are really starting to do a lot of things like Jesus." Hey, that's even better than wearing it on a bracelet or a t-shirt or having a stuffed animal that said WWJD, if people actually said, wow, you're starting to act like Jesus. But that's what it means, that I may know him. It's practical. The last thing, number four, it's a privilege. I may know him. We're not talking about the president. We're not talking about a governor. We're not talking about a millionaire. We're talking about God. I'm glad. I am so glad I know my wife. I'm glad I know you. But I can know God. I can know the Creator of everything. And the truth is, you may know him for salvation, but for so many people, that's it. Because the greatest privilege in all the world is to really know him. It's the greatest. It's hard even to imagine. I've had people say before, you know, I got to shake hands with so-and-so, and it was some human. I may know him, God, God Almighty. And you can know him today beyond salvation. Maybe you're here and you've not trusted Jesus as your Savior, not even saved. I trust that you will get to know him as your Savior But most of the people here have already trusted Christ as Savior. Please, please, today, say, God, I do want to know You. I want to know You the very, very best way I can possibly know You. You're going to have to talk to Him. You're going to have to spend time with Him. You're going to have to read His Word. You're going to have to observe His ways. You're going to have to think about Him. That might require turning off the TV some. Amen. You're going to have to know Him and get to know Him. Just like you would a human, just like you would somebody you love, just like you would somebody that you're trying to get information from. You've got to spend the time to really know Him. Let's bow our heads, please. I wonder if there's someone here today who'd say, Preacher, I've not even trusted Christ as my Savior. If I died, I do not know whether I'm going to heaven. I'm not sure if I'm saved. Please pray for me. Anyone like that? You say, pray for me. I do not know whether I'm saved. Please pray for me. Raise your hand, please. I want to pray for you if you're not sure you're saved. How many Christians would say, Preacher, I'm saved. I'm a Christian. But God's spoken to my heart about something today. Please pray for me as a Christian. Raise your hand all over. Raise your hand. Be honest. God's spoken to my heart today. Thank you. God bless you. Father, I pray that we would have that desire. Lord, help us to know we can know You. And I pray we'd pray, we'd read our Bible, we'd think of You, we'd observe Your ways. God, that we would think like You think, that we'd really know You. Help us, like Paul, to count everything else as not as important as knowing You. Bless the invitation, I pray.